And if you'd come. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coves. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I feel great today. I feel great when I wear red and when I wear lipstick. And I'm wearing red today.
And you got both.
Because it's the holiday season.
Amen.
And I feel good. So our show today is going to be with our good friend Yvonne Mason, who is a writer. She's an author. She blogs. She draws. She has her own clothing line. She has over 200,000 listeners on her radio show, which I'd like to get there one day, but Ellen says maybe we are. So this is, our show is heard on 94.7 FM, we're 99.9 FM, we're on 100.7. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is a very fun, unscripted, educational, and very entertaining show at times. We do know that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, so we try to always play nice. So Yvonne, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's good to be here again. The last time we talked was via telephone because I couldn't leave my house.
That's right. Yes, I remember
that. Because you were a fantastic caregiver, too.
Yes,
she was. A wonderful man.
And Ellen Little is here, and Ellen is my co-host, and we've been together for a very long time.
7 years.
Almost 7 years. And, you know, for my dear listeners who are tuning in today, I asked Ellen a few weeks ago, I said, should we continue with the show? Because 2019 is coming up. And she said, sure, whatever you want to do. And wouldn't you know, we're already booked into the end of January. We have a lot of people that want to come and sit down in the studio and chat with us and visit. And it's become sort of therapeutic as well for a lot of our friends and people who tune into the show. And the same, we still have our sponsors. So I'm excited to say that Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, as long as Ellen is here. If not, well, yeah. Well, there's more people that would like to co-host. But Ellen seems to be like my right hand.
I'm here.
Yeah,
they're going to have to pry me out of this seat, Sita.
So listen up. That's it. So Ellen, thank you for being here, too.
Yes. Thank you.
It is nice to use our voice in a responsible manner to spread good cheer and tidings and just bring joy to people. There are so many people on my Facebook page that are retired professionals as well as people who lost a spouse or people who are just at home now. And they're retired and they go on Facebook to read articles or keep up with friends. And I get so many messages from people who are receiving chemotherapy or in a doctor's office, or waiting on an aircraft, a plane, and they'll say, we love your Facebook and what you write on there, because it's all about human beings.
It is.
And
yeah.
So that's what
we
do.
And we really do. I mean, with very few exception, we really do love everybody.
Yeah.
We really do. I mean, because we're trying to put out a good message, could it put out a good feel, a good vibe. There we go.
Good
vibes, yes.
So this morning I was at the gym, and I just mentioned it in our promo. I saw this young man, and the stock market was going down, and the guy says, you know, there goes my 401k. And, of course, me and my big mouth, I said, well, for those who voted for the lesser of two evils, there. And he says, you know what? It's going to get worse before it gets better. So that means the housing market and everything else is going to. And I thought, well, you know what? A lot of people were hoping to sell their houses and make a good profit on it. And in a way, I felt sorry for those people. But what happens to the ones who are actually hoping to retire on that money? What happens to people?
Well, I mean, it happened before. I mean, unfortunately, history repeats itself. And you can go back for the last 50 years, and about every 7 to 10 years, this happens. So what we need to do is start educating people, like we've talked about before, about educating people, even in high school, about economics.
Saving.
And about saving,
yeah.
And about not, you know, from a risk factor, there are some people that have a higher risk factor and have a higher opportunity to absorb risk than others.
Right.
And unfortunately, when you put yourself in a position that, you know, that old term, all your eggs in one basket, you're typically going to feel some consequences when something like this happens.
Right. Well, and it always goes back to what our parents taught us, right? And I was thinking about my mom this morning, and it was ironic. I posted something about my mom, and then Yvonne posted something about her mom. But then I started thinking about sustainability. And here I was thinking about the stock market and people who are losing money and real estate and the price of gold and whatever. And I was thinking, how did they do it long ago? Well, they put value on themselves.
They had stuff
on land.
Yeah.
And they didn't have credit cards, Ellen.
That's right.
They didn't. They bought everything cash or they went without. Mm-hmm. They lived the life they can afford.
That's right.
Right. And so I was thinking about my mother and I'm thinking, well, how did she raise 11 children of her own and 7 stepchildren, which all was 18 of us? Mm-hmm. None of us ever went to the hospital. We never had broken bones. We never had scratches. We didn't fall. Nothing happened to us. And I think it was because they were so proactive. They thought about everything. Right. They were very cautious about spending, about cooking, about saving.
They planned.
And even washing clothes, that was an event.
Right.
Someone had to wash, someone had to rinse, and someone had to hang it on the clothesline. And then someone had to pick it up. But, you know, she delegated these tasks. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it. I said, well, didn't have to worry about the energy cost of the washing machine or the dryer, because there it was hanging. And then one child had to pick the clothes up. And so I was thinking, maybe we ought to go back to basics a little bit and start thinking about what we do. Because so many of us squander our money. So many of us just don't think about what we're doing. A cup of coffee at, you know, Starbucks.
Right. And they actually, there's books out there. There's the latte factor. And Kawasaki, that's not his name, but Kiyosaki or something like that. He's an author. He put something out about that, about the latte factor. That if you just saved, if you just didn't go to, even if you went to Starbucks once a week, what that money would be like at the end of the year. Even if you took a penny and you started on January 1st and on January 2nd, you put 2 pennies in, and on January 3rd, put 3 pennies in, and slowly increase that increment. There's a book out that says that you would have like $1,500 by the end of the year that would be saved with loose change.
Well, I have loose change all over my house.
Well, you know, I do too.
Well, you know, when I think about all of this, Yvonne always comes to my mind because her mom, your mom, was one of those ladies that we read about that made America what it is.
She did, didn't she? She did.
So let's start our show this morning a little bit about talking about you, Yvonne. Tell us a little bit about your background. And then Ellen has 4 segments mapped out for today since you're on the show by yourself today. We're going to have fun. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. And then we want to talk about the recent loss and how you're coping with the loss of your dear departed husband, Jack.
My background is I was a post-World War II baby, one of the baby boomers now that we've been titled as. I grew up poor, and it was okay because we didn't have everything that we wanted, but we had everything we needed. My father worked long, long hours, sometimes didn't get in until after midnight, crawling under houses and up in attics, putting in heating and air conditioning. My mother stayed home with us. I was a child within myself, and she also was taking care of my brother, who was mentally and physically challenged. But we made it, and the values, the core values, the moral compass that my parents instilled in me was faith, family, and country. Faith being first, and as I got older, I sort of struggled with my faith because I never thought I was good enough to arrive in heaven when I died until I realized I'll never be good enough, and that's okay.
That's the whole reason. That's the whole premise.
Because
that's
we
a
have
whole
God's
different show. Because right? I'm sure Yvonne has some skeletons in her closet.
But we have God's grace.
Amen.
So with God's grace, I came to terms with it. And let's fast forward to I became a published author in my 50s. I went to college in my 50s. I became a bounty hunter in my 50s. I moved to Florida in 2006. And in the last 5 years, I've lost 5 family members, including my husband.
And you've written how many books?
17 books.
17 books. And her website is fabulous. Some of the titles, they really blow my mind, too, like Tangled Minds, Brilliant Insanity.
That was one of my favorite books to write.
When Fates Collide, but F-A-T-E-S?
F-A-T-E-S.
Yes. And then your philosophy in life, I love it, Pay It Forward. But you do.
I do.
You really, really do.
And that's one of the ways that I have been blessed back, because we can never pay back all those folks that have helped us down through the years. And I've had many, many people help me. The best we can do is pay it forward to someone else. And in paying it forward, the blessings come back tenfold.
Right. And you always say failure is not an option.
No, failure is not an option.
And that, I think that should be our takeaway from our show today. We've got the whole hour, dear friends who are listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Failure is not an option because all of us at some time in life, we have to cope with something.
Yes.
Whether it is the loss of a job, whether we lose a spouse, whether, you know, an opportunity went by, you missed an opportunity, and you have to learn to cope. And right now we just did a show about homeless in Brevard. Right. We have a lot of people who are hungry that are going homeless. We have a lot of things that are going on in Washington and Tallahassee that people agree or disagree with. And it is a loss because people think that they're getting something and they don't, right? So Yvonne, you put up a post a few months ago about Jack, and he'd taken a turn for the worse and he went to the hospital, and all of your friends followed the journey with you. We could all see Jack in the emergency room, and we know one crew wasn't that good, and one crew was really good, right?
Right.
So tell our listeners a little bit about Jack and your the last few months, how you coped with being a caregiver, continuing to write, and continuing to have your show, but how did you do it?
Well, the last 7 months of my husband's journey, he's been ill for a while, and we took him to the hospital, found out that he had congestive heart failure. We knew it was terminal, but his cardiologist, being the love that he is, put a defib inside of him and explained to us that the journey was a short one. So I told my husband, I said, there's several things we can do here. We can both go down in that rabbit hole and waste the time that we have left. We cannot live with regrets about what we lost in the past because it's done. We cannot go back and revisit it. We can't worry about the future because it's not here yet. So all we have is right now.
You live in the present.
Live in the present. Mm-hmm. Because that is all that we have. That's all that we're promised is right this moment in time. So we can take this journey in this rabbit hole and waste what precious time we have left. Or we can take a positive journey together, talk this thing through, make peace with it, and move forward. Or you can go down in the rabbit hole and stay for a little while and come back out, because I'm not going down there with you. But I will be here waiting for you when you come out. Well, that's what he chose to do. He went down in the rabbit hole for about 2 hours. And he said, okay, I'm over it now. I've processed it. And we never discussed the journey in depth again. We did talk about things. And when he started having episodes where I thought I was going to lose him, I would tell him I was not ready to be half a team.
Did you have advanced directives on him? Or
I told all the doctors, I said, this is the deal. I am taking my husband home. I will take care of him myself. I've been taking care of him for 11 and a half, almost 12 years. I will continue to care for him. I do not need hospice. I do not need strange people in my home. I know my husband. I will make
And he was used
calls.
To the setup you had
yes.
at home. You had a hospital bed. You had everything.
I had everything. I had a hospital bed. I had his O2. I was in constant contact with his cardiologist, which at that point in time was the only one that mattered.
Right.
None of the rest of them mattered. And I was in constant contact with him. And it was just him and I. And it was okay because he told me, he said, I trust you. Whatever, I had a Hoya lift for him.
I was just going to say, how did you lift him in
I
and
had
out
a
of
Hoya
bed?
Lift.
You know, look at her. She can open her own nursing agency at this point.
Well, I could pick him up. I've picked that man up many, many times.
So I'm
4'11.
I was just going to say, 4'11.
Yeah, and he's 5'8.
So here's
the
question.
Pounds.
So while you're taking care of Jack and he's terminal, who's taking care of you? How did you take care of you during all of this?
I continued the radio. I quit writing because the voices went silent because they said, Jack needs you. You don't need us right now to create any confusion in your life. But I started writing for Be Unique magazine. Thank you, Mary Brotherton, because the 500-word articles that I could write for her, I could whip out in no time. And that would keep the voices silent. I did the radio show on the nights that my husband was well enough. The last 4 months, I never left the house because every time I would walk out of another room, he would get scared. So my place was with my husband at that time to make his journey easier for him. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to have peace of mind.
So this is, then I would assume you have no guilt.
None.
Because, you know, I think a lot of times what happens with people is if they didn't give their loved one that time, they feel guilty. And, you know, me being working in the long-term care industry for over 28 years, I've seen when patients die, how families squabble. And I've seen the guilt, and I've seen people who can't cope. A lot of it comes from not being there when you're needed. So you were fortunate, and he was fortunate that you could be there for 4 months without leaving.
Yeah, I have, because he was the most important person in my life. And like I said at the top of the hour, my parents raised me with a moral compass that when you are married, you and that person are one person. That person's needs, wants, and desires come before yours, comes before parents, comes before siblings, comes before friends.
Can you repeat that? Because what? Yeah, how many people are getting divorced because they don't, they cut and run?
No.
So how did you keep that moral compass going? Because truthfully, I mean, I'm sure you know people as well as Ellen,
absolutely.
And I know a lot of them. We've become such a nation where people are so selfish, and they really don't do that anymore.
Well, not
everyone. Maybe some people do.
When I made my marriage vows, when I said my marriage vows did not say in health only. It says in sickness and in health. And I knew his health issues going into this relationship, and I knew they were only going to get worse, and it didn't matter. We had waited so long to be together that we crammed so much in those 12 short years, and I wanted those extra months.
Why did you wait that long to get together?
Because he wouldn't come find me in Georgia like he was supposed to.
Oh, I was going to say, is that another skeleton in a closet?
No, we are second cousins.
When Jack found Yvonne?
In 1974, we were both at my grandmother's funeral because his mother and my grandmother were sisters. We are second cousins, and we both knew then, but we both went our separate ways, but we kept up with each other. And I asked him a lot of times, I said, why didn't you come get me? And he had no answer. And I said, you know, it's all your fault. So now you owe me 30 years. Well, I got 12 of those 30.
But you crammed a lot.
You guys did
a lot. So tell us some of the things you did with Jack made him so happy.
He took me on cruises, and he loved me. This is the only human being in a relationship besides my parents that loved me unconditionally, that encouraged me, that saw the good in me, that was my biggest supporter. And whatever I wanted to do, it didn't matter. He was proud of it, just like I was proud of him. We traveled. We read the same things. We watched the same TV shows. We talked politics with each other. We talked current events with each other. We watched. I can't watch football now because that was his thing. He loved football. We'd argue over football. We just loved being with each other. We were never apart in those 12 years. We were never, ever apart, especially at night.
Well, you know, they say love is the force that moves the universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think no matter who you fall in love with, if you're in love with, if someone loves you back, it's such a gift to be appreciated. Everyone, at the end of the day, wants to be loved and appreciated. And I've, you know, I look sometimes, you know, what's going on with the news, and you watch what's going on with the LGBT community. You know, I always say, you know what, let people be in love. If somebody loves you and they want to be there with you until you leave this planet, who am I to judge?
We're not
here to judge other people. If you find that love, and it is the holiday season,
yeah.
It is Christmas time. I mean, people ought to be able to be appreciated for this earthly body that they have.
Right. And to your point, it's, you know, now that it is the holiday season, there's lots of people that are alone. And that might not have that support.
And don't wait like Yvonne and Jack for 12 years.
Right,
go
for
find
12
that
years.
Person.
Well, either go find that person or go find it within yourself. Find the things within yourself.
That's the key. You have to love yourself. You have to like yourself before you can love yourself, or before you can even love someone else.
And we know from your history too, just like Sita's history, that you've abusive relationships,
yep.
and all sorts of things that could have taken you right off the train tracks,
yep.
and gone either way. But it's the love for yourself that really is the bond that starts the whole thing.
So how did you do that? Because for me, what it was is I had to look deep into my soul and say, what exactly is your purpose on earth? You're Indian. You were born in Trinidad and Tobago. You have four children. You have a husband. You're a nurse. And there has to be something else that you could do to make yourself happy, cope with this big, bad universe. And at the same time, whatever happened, use that life experience to help others. And what I did was I said, you know what? I have a voice. And I could use my voice to promote goodness on earth. That's all I do. That's it. I just figured I will use what my mom taught me, what my grandmother taught me, what I saw in the village, what I see in the nursing homes. I listen to people. I read a lot. And I find that the best thing you could do, not everybody's right, but you can agree to disagree. And you just promote good. That's all you do.
Well, one of Jack's mantras was, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? I choose to be happy.
Love that.
Kind of like, do you want to be married or do you want to be happy?
Well, you can be both of those, but you don't always have to be right and be married.
Exactly.
I think you just have to be honest. Honesty is always the best policy.
And in being honest, this is where we cheat ourselves because we're not always honest with ourselves. And in order to like oneself and in order to be happy, one has to look in the mirror and see the person that's looking back and say, I will be the change I want to see happen.
Oh, you sound like Gandhi there.
That's a Gandhi. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
And integrity. You have to have integrity.
Yes.
And a lot we're seeing nowadays, lying 101 has become so normal that, you know, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for our country and for our children and for our grandchildren. It's not okay to lie. When you tell one little lie, it becomes... You know, then you tell another one, and you forgot the one you told in the first place.
Well, I look at it this way. I am in control of nothing. In this big universe, I am in control of nothing. The Creator is in control of everything. So when I give it all up to Him and I don't worry about it, He'll take care of it.
She sounded like a Hindu girl more and more, and she's not.
Well, I mean, isn't it the premise, though, of all religions? I mean, it really is.
I have an altar, like my Lord Krishna and Ganesh. And, you know, Hindus have multiple deities, and we believe that it's a form of concentration. And
Catholics
then it goes
have
to
that,
God,
too.
Right?
We have all the saints.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is what I do. I go over there with a big, happy smile, and I'll say, this is your job to worry about this, that, and the other, and here's a flower. Goodbye. And I walk away, and I don't worry about it. And my son says to me, how come Sita never worries? And I said, well, if you have a relationship with God, what kind of fate, whatever fate it is. And Yvonne and I were just saying, you don't have to go to a church or a synagogue or a temple. Although it's fun to go. You meet a lot of nice people and it's great energy. The fellowship.
That's the fellowship.
But as long as you have that relationship at home, Yvonne had to have that relationship for 4 months and even the 12 years. But after Jack died, you found yourself falling into that deep despair. And it was a good thing you had that relationship.
Yeah, because faith is what got me through all of it. There were many nights that I would go and take my shower and I would just have a conversation with God because for a long time I said, God, just please give me one more day. I only asked for one day at a time. I never asked for any more, just one more day. Well, towards the end, I would say, God, I'm not going to ask for one more day anymore. I'm just going to ask, please don't let him suffer.
There you go.
Yeah. So I was totally at peace with whatever happened because we knew it was coming. We had time to have that time, and I gave all the worry over to God and didn't worry about it.
Isn't that the biggest sin against God, too, when he says to have faith in me in all things?
Yeah.
And then we worry about it?
Yeah.
It's like the biggest sin that we could possibly say. It's like, we're going to
So how did you feel when you saw him in so much pain? Because he went through emotional pain. He went through physical pain. Then he had to go through financial, I don't think as much, because you two were pretty well in investing and you took care of your future.
We took care of our future.
But he didn't have, well, of course, some people do have to worry about that on a deathbed when they're leaving a spouse. But when you saw him suffering as far as the disease and the mental part of it and the pain, how did that make you feel?
Like I was dying inside too.
Yeah.
Because I was losing my other half. I was losing, we had become one person. We thought alike. We finished each other's thoughts, not just sentences, but thoughts, which was even scarier. And I was hurting mentally, emotionally, and physically along with him. And I knew the night that he was dying, when I went to lay him down, he said, I'm in trouble, aren't I? And I said, yes, darling. Your journey is almost ended.
She's such a Southern belle.
And I
said, darling.
And you can go anytime you want to.
So you gave him permission to leave.
Yes. And
you
when
had
I,
to, though. You had to do that.
If I hadn't, he would have kept fighting. And that was not fair to him. So when I told him he could go whenever he was ready, the light came in his eyes, and he was at peace with everything.
That's what they do with the hospice patients, too. You know, you give them permission.
This is why I didn't need hospice.
Yeah. Well, you did. So did he? Was he getting morphine and everything?
Not until I transported him on Tuesday morning to the hospital, because the liver was going. So with the liver going and everything else that was going on inside, and we argued about it. Not argue. We discussed it all night because we never fought. And he said, "No, I don't want to go." And finally, at 6 o'clock, I said, "I'm making the decision here. I'm taking." And he trusted me enough to know that I would take care
of
it.
Well, those of us who are your friends on Facebook, we watched the death and dying process with you. We watched the delivery of care in the hospital. And we also watched how you coped afterwards. And did you, was he cremated?
Yes.
Yes, and what did you do? So did you have, you had a celebration of life.
Oh, yeah.
I know I worked that day and I couldn't come.
It was a
two
and a half.
So tell us a little bit about the celebration of Jack's life.
It was a
Jack
two,
Mason?
Two,
is it Mason?
No, his Sewell.
Sewell.
My married name is Sewell.
Sewell.
It was a 2.5-hour celebration of one of the most iconic men in the state of Florida. He's known all over the state, all over the world, and he is well-loved. We did a full military funeral complete with the flag, the taps, and the 21-gun salute, and the bagpipes. We had his harem of 30 women who loved him dearly bring roses to his casket, put him in the casket.
Where are these women from?
I'll tell you the story.
Look, that's another book.
See this little
book.
Dander's up right
yeah,
now.
I'm like,
going, wait a second, where are
my
these
father,
women?
When my father died, we only had like four.
I will tell you the story when we come back from break.
Yeah, so we are going to take a quick break. We're going to hear from our sponsors.
Are we ready for break already?
I think Pastor Paul's telling us we need a break. So we're going to take a quick break. And right after we come back, we're going to hear the rest of the story. And we're going to talk about what you did and all of the things that you're doing in order to cope with what you have gone on this past year.
30 women.
30 women. That's right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well. And delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Ellen Little, my co-host, and I are here, and we are so happy to have with us in our studio our good friend, writer, author, blog person,
radio show
host,
artist,
clothing line executive,
right.
artist, Yvonne right. Mason is here. And we decided at our shows from now on, which our shows are more of a human interest story, and then we'll talk about what's going on with a person's life and how we can help change our world and make it better. And so Yvonne has been a supporter of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and she has had a lot of loss, and she's had to cope with so much. And so we thought, since it's the holiday season, there are so many people who have to cope with death and dying, with people who are leaving our planet, people who's lost a job, the economy, whatever it is. We thought we would just talk about the six Fs now that we have. Friends, family, food, finances, forgiveness, and I forgot the other F.
Faith.
Faith. Yeah. How'd you forget that one?
Most important. Most important, right? So we're talking about Yvonne lost her husband, Jack, a few months ago, and she wrote a lot of stuff on Facebook that a lot of us have been following, and we've watched how she dealt with the grief, and now we're watching how she's keeping busy and keeping her mind busy. And she started, in addition to writing, she started drawing. So we want to hear a little bit about her paintings and her drawings. So tell us a little bit. We were talking about the celebration of life.
Right.
And then you want to go into that.
Yep, the 30 women at his funeral.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we stopped.
I was afraid that if we started with that, then we probably would take the next half an hour. But we can make it short and sweet, because we do want to move on to how she's coping.
The short version of this is, my husband was a JCF Florida senator. And every time we would go to one of the meetings, because my husband was a beautifully bald-headed man, The women that loved him, and I love the fact that these women loved him. It was not sexual. It was just they loved him because of who he was. He was bigger than life. Well, every time they would come in and say hello to him, they would kiss him on top of his bald head. So when I was making the funeral arrangements, I told the gentleman that was helping me, thank you, Jay Edmondson, that this is what I wanted to do. I wanted all of his harem to walk down the middle aisle carrying a rose, which was his favorite flower, put it in the casket, and if they were comfortable, send him off with red lipstick kisses on top of his bald head.
Oh, how sweet!
And that is what they did.
That is cool.
There were the only thing that you could see in the casket was Jack's face when they got through.
Oh, wonderful!
That is so cool.
That's how proud of my husband I was and still am, that he had that type of aura and essence, that he was loved and respected by men and women alike all over the world.
That's amazing.
And so, you cremated him, and then where did he have a special place that he wanted his ashes?
He is still at my house, because he said, Yvonne, when you die, you can put me in the box with you.
Okay, fair
enough. Know that, because the reason why I asked, I just ran into a woman who passed away, and her husband said to me, well, I'm taking her and my son up to New Hampshire. And I said, your son? I didn't even know you had a son. And he says, oh, he died about 6 years ago from a drug overdose. And he said, and she wanted me to keep his urn at home. And no, he's driving with the two urns in the front seat. And he's going to be talking to both of them as he drives the urns up. And she wanted to be buried with her son. So she did the same thing. She kept it at home.
Yep. His urn is a box of books. Because he loved books.
So you went from burying, cremating Jack to now you're home alone. And you've got wonderful neighbors that they've always been there to help you with Jack when you needed it, and they're there for you as well. And you've a lot of friends, but that's not enough when you're lonely. They said nothing good comes after dark, because that's when your mind starts wondering sometimes, right? And the loneliness and depression sets in. So what have you done to help cope?
What I do is I take painting classes, because I have found out that $35 to $55 for a couple of hours is a whole lot cheaper than $350 for grief counseling. And more times than not, when you go to grief counseling, most of the counselors have never suffered a loss, so they have no clue. It's all book learning. I talk to Jack a lot. I talk to God a lot. I talk to the dog a lot. I do the radio shows. I paint at home. I still write for the magazine. I started a new website, and it's called forallthingstherisaseason.com, and it is a journey through the Bible, and just started blogging on it about different subjects that I have written down that I think people need: faith, joy, hope, grace, love. And I quote scripture, and it's not 4 and 5 pages long. It's maybe 250, 300 words.
Yeah.
And we're already getting hits on that. I do the radio show 4 or 5 times a week.
And you find that you're thinking about your mother a lot?
I do.
Now that you've lost Jack, you've just counted off. You lost 5 people in a space of...
5 years.
5 years. And you know your granddaughter, we lost her.
Yes, we lost her. 6 weeks later, we lost my dad. 2011, we lost my sister. 2015, we lost the granddaughter and my dad. 2019... this year, in August, 3 years and 2 days after we lost Dad, we lost Mom, and 6 weeks later, we lost Jack. Mom had been failing. She died the day my father died. She just didn't quit breathing.
So for people who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, the holiday season is here, and we know there are a lot of groups that people can join, like-minded groups, because people do have get-togethers for Christmas and all that. What would you tell people who are home alone and going through this process, and they're really desperate, they need help? A lot of people can't even afford mental health therapy.
True.
People don't have health insurance. So what would we do to tell people at home? What can they do to help themselves?
Do not close your window curtains. Do not lock your doors. And do not lock people out. If someone invites you over to their house, I don't care how hard it is. Trust me, I have done this. When someone invites you over to their house, you put on your prettiest clothes. You make your face up. Put on your nicest shoes, no matter how bad you feel, and you walk out that door, get in the car, or have someone come pick you up, and you go. It doesn't matter if you don't say but 12 words during the entire time you're there. You go.
Because loneliness is a disease.
And it will kill you.
It will kill you. Yes. Yeah.
Isolation is the worst thing.
It is. So go, ladies and gentlemen.
And it's a simple concept. Just get up and go.
Just go.
Just go. Don't wait for somebody else to do it.
And trust me, I didn't want to go to my granddaughter's for Thanksgiving. That was very difficult. It was almost impossible, because I found myself looking how I'm going to get my husband in her home, because it wasn't accessible.
Right.
How I'm going to get him in the car to take him over there. How I'm going to get the car up in the driveway. But I went, and I'm glad I did, because it's not so much... It was more for them than it was for me. I'd have been perfectly happy going to McDonald's and being at home by myself. But my family needed me to be there.
Right. And you're such an inspiration, because you've always had to deal with stuff. You had to deal with your brother Stan.
Yes.
Then you had to deal with Jack. Then you had to deal with your mom. And for us, we look at you and we see everything you're doing. And I know, I said to myself, my God, she's painting? I said, what on earth? And then I looked at the painting. I'm like, it's damn good.
It's really good.
And I'm like, it's really good. And I'm like, where is she?
Let's face it, Sita. We've known Yvonne for a while. What doesn't she do that's good?
Right. So what does the painting do for you? Are you picking things that you and Jack liked or just random things that the class is giving out?
It's sort of like the voices in my head that tell me what to write. I have voices in my head that tell me what to paint. A gentleman said, my daughter has been in the Nutcracker for the last 5 years. Can you do a Nutcracker? Well, I've never done a Nutcracker before, so I thought, okay, why not? So that
I saw that
I
post.
I did a stage scene complete with curtains drawn back with three nutcrackers, and then I put a pair of ballerinas up in the air above the middle one's head.
And what do you plan to do with the paintings? Because you're channeling this energy into the painting.
Sell them.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Why not? If it gives somebody else. Yesterday I was up in Indian River. Saturday I was in Indian River County at the mall. And Hanging with the Web Show was there. They're very good friends of mine. And I had my Mad Hatter painting. And Garrett came over and said, I want to borrow your painting. I said, okay. He said, I'm going to use it as a prop. So he wound up with the painting.
So we know that your writing energizes you and it motivates you. So now the painting is sort of doing the same thing.
Yes. And while I was waiting to come into the studio, I was at my car and I had a moment of three characters telling me where they wanted to go for their next book. So be prepared for Penelope, Lola, and Vicki Lane to take a trip to New Orleans and more dead bodies.
Wow.
That's so cool. So we know the last time you came, we were in the other studio, but we had talked about your clothing line, and you gave me that cute little purse. Actually, my granddaughter, Madison, took it. She loved it, and she's using it, which is fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
We all talk about giving away our stuff now.
Right.
We want to watch people enjoy it. So are you still doing the clothing line?
I am. In fact, I will probably be starting to put some of my artwork on the line.
Well, your photography is on the line now.
Yes.
So if you know anything about Yvonne's product, if the purses and the shawls and all of that, it's all of your photography.
It's all of my photography.
And Yvonne has a lot of purple.
One more.
I notice you love purple.
I do love purple, black, and brown.
Yeah, purple and red are my favorite colors. So if someone is listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today and they want to go on your website, I think we better give them the website so they can start looking at your books.
There's a few.
And paintings.
I have several.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a few.
I Googled
Vita
her name.
And it's under Yvonne Sewell.
Yes. The Vita site and my painting line are under my married name because that's to honor my husband because he's responsible for that inspiration.
You need to write a book about marriage.
I could do that.
You should because you know what? I've come across, and I put it on Facebook a few days ago, and our show is unscripted, so we can talk and we can make nice suggestions, right?
That's right, that's right.
But here's the thing. I ran into five ladies, and not the same day, of course, you know, but all of them, their husbands left them for younger women. And at first I thought, well, did you cook? Did you clean? Did you take care of the children? Did you do what you're supposed to do in bed? Blah, blah, blah. And then I'm thinking, well, then I'm saying, no. They left them because like my father, my mom used to say, the man had a long eye, right? It had nothing to do with the woman not doing her role because nowadays we cook, we clean, we work, we're partners, we do everything right. But how can you stop someone from straying? You really can't.
You can't. If they're going to stray, they're going to stray.
But then it comes, I would say don't let the door hit you too hard on the way out. But here's the thing. What is causing all these people not to respect their marriage vows, the adultery and all these things that are going on? I mean, when you take a vow, you should respect what you're saying. And if you want to have an affair or you want to leave, get a divorce.
But
I think it's
our society of instant gratification.
Yep.
And things aren't working out so well now, so let me go see if there's something better.
Instead, there isn't. I have news for them. The grass is not always greener on the other side.
No moral compass.
Correct.
When we as a society...
Change yourself first before you try to change your spouse.
When we as a society look to Hollywood celebrities whose marriage ratio is like in the toilet, and we think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, that is the wrong moral compass. We should be looking to our Creator who tells us that when two people become one, would you hurt yourself that way? Would you do something to deliberately hurt yourself? Then if the answer is no, why would you do that to your spouse?
Because people don't think of the marriage, like you said it so beautifully, to become one, right?
Right.
But I don't think a lot of people think of it that way, Yvonne. I think a lot of people, they cut and run when they go and get stuff. But, you know, your mom and my mom and a lot of people that we grew up with, they stuck it out.
Through thick and thin.
Through thick and thin. And I'm not saying that if someone is cheating or someone is beating and being abusive, violent and all that, you should stick around. But, you know... I know, you have to change yourself, fix yourself before you could fix someone else.
Well, it's respect, too.
And respect. I would say, you know, two things I don't put up with is the violence against women. Someone is doing that. You have a right to walk.
Oh, they're not going to live.
Then you've got
to
walk.
You
got
to come with bail money.
Find a way out. Get a plan. Get a plan and move. Okay.
You're
it,
totally
right?
covered.
So what's next?
And I would love to get that phone call. By the way,
I know.
Just letting you know,
we're coming.
I don't know why I'm excited about that.
We're bringing belts, pot, spoon, whatever we can bring.
Right.
We're coming.
Right. We're coming.
But it's just that these ladies that I was talking to, a lot of them came from their marriages were good, the husbands made good money. Their children, though, I noticed the one common factor there was that the children had all gone off to college. So I was wondering, some of the marriages, they stay until the children go off to college and then leave?
Men have inferiority complexes. Most of them have very low self-esteem. And they feel like that if they go find, if some sweet young thing pays attention to them, then they're not facing their mortality. Let me tell you something, ladies. They get old, too.
Yes. Yeah. And they're not Democrats or Republicans or independents.
No,
they're everybody.
They're everywhere.
Everyone, not, you know what I mean.
And don't think that you're so special.
Exactly. Because they will leave you as well.
They're going to leave you for the next box.
That's why I say put on
top.
Some lipstick and put on a red top and get the hell out of there. No, I mean, you have to put value on yourself and respect yourself in order for somebody else to respect you. And what I find, too, is a lot of people think, oh, if I get married, if I have a baby, things are going to be great. No, they're not.
No, if they're not great in the beginning.
A marriage don't make it happy. Mm-hmm. You have to make yourself happy, right? Mm-hmm. You have to do what Yvonne is doing and find ways to cope with life itself. So tell us a little bit about your books. We're going to transition a little bit because we have, I think, 15 minutes left. What does your family think about you doing all these things that you're doing in addition to writing?
They love it.
They like when you're busy.
My daughters and my sons, they're very proud of me because they were worried as well that I would crawl down in that rabbit hole. They know me like my husband did. Mm-hmm. That I would crawl down in that rabbit hole and stay.
That's a title for a book, Rabbit Hole.
Rabbit Hole, because they were afraid that I was so emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually tired that I would crash and burn. I do my best work under pressure. I am like a phoenix that rises up out of the ashes.
That's our new band name, by the way.
There you go. You might knock me down. I might get knocked down by life, but life is not good or bad. Life is just life. And there is a circle of life, and we have to learn that if we cannot cope with the small things, how in God's name are we going to cope with the big things? Faith.
And you know something? The whole picture of all of this, too, is people that are out on the outside that are looking at you as an author and all of these fantastic things that are going on, just like celebrities in Hollywood, we look at them and we say, oh, they don't have problems, or they don't have this, or they don't have that.
Everybody's got it.
And here's the thing, where people might be admiring you for your author and for your, they have no idea what they're missing about admiring you as a person.
Thank you.
Seriously. And unfortunately that we don't get deep enough anymore in our relationships to really get to know
people to know
how we cope.
It's like surface to surface. But I think when the doors are closed, behind closed doors, people have their demons as well.
Oh, I fight them all the time.
And you have to exactly. Yeah. And that's what we admire about you, Yvonne, and we respect so much. You're not afraid to share those with us and how you're coping. Like when you said you talk to yourself, you talk to the cat. My husband talks to his cat. And that's how he copes. That's how he copes with it. But the thing is, I think Ellen is right. You know, we look at the magazine covers and we look at the headlines. But what's under the headlines? Right? There's a lot of things that people have to cope with.
That's right. And some people don't have the coping mechanisms that they need, and that's why they lash out or that's why they do certain things. But in the same respect, things like painting and writing and
creative, you know, just being creative
in your own way. And, you know, some people it's cooking. Some people it might be exercise that they want to do new things. But it really is that stay out of isolation. Make sure that you get up every day.
So
Make one thing every day.
So I wanted to ask you, how many books have you written? You said 17. And which one was your favorite book and why?
My favorite book was my first true crime. And the reason for that is, again, my beautiful husband. Y'all see me call him my beautiful man. My beautiful man is the inspiration for that book because he worked that crime. He told me the story about that crime, and he not only encouraged me to write the book, He got helped me get the research, get the people I needed to talk to, and every time a television production company would call me up and say, we want to interview you and put you on television in France, on television in England, twice on the ID channel, I'd say, honey, I want them to interview you, and he would say, no, this is your story.
I'm glad you had him, because you know, I speak to a lot of authors, and there's so many unethical practices in publishing,
yes,
right? And you know of a few of those.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's somebody listening out there. People think it's so easy to write a book, get published, but then marketing the book is tough.
That's
right?
Harder than writing the book.
It sure is. So what are some of the unethical things that you came across in publishing?
Oh, so-called indie authors trying to trademark titles or words. You can't trademark a word. One just came up where this indie author tried to go after Nora Roberts, of all people, whose book was out way before this indie author, taking credit for something that you have not written, or taking someone else's story and making it your own, just charging outrageous prices for books. Just stupid stuff. Because they, A, either are ignorant or stupid or both, I'm not sure which, and don't understand that in this tight-knit community of indie authors, we have each other's back.
That's the way it should be.
Yes.
Certainly the way it should be. And from a cutthroat's perspective, we got enough of that.
Yeah, well, we all see what's happening with Michelle Obama's book. That book went through the roof. That book was just from her heart. She just wrote that book from her heart, and what happened with her as a young woman, as an attorney, a first lady, and people love it because it's from the heart. It's truth, right? So when did you realize you wanted to be a writer?
When I was 5 years old.
Did you have a diary like everybody else?
No, I didn't write a diary because I didn't trust the written, putting things down on paper. But
5 years old?
5 years old, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
My mother taught me to write before I went to school because I had to answer my father's telephone, the business phone. Because if I didn't answer it right and write the messages down right, we might not eat that night.
So there you have it, folks. 5 years old, Yvonne Mason realized she wanted to be a writer. Did you ever go on any literary pilgrimages?
No.
Now, what are those? Because I hear about those, and people say, if you want to write a book, come on this pilgrimage.
Good. No.
To me, it sounds like a money-making, like, I wouldn't say the word, but it sounds like somebody wants to make a little change off of others. Because you could sit at home and write if you want to.
Well, especially in this age of technology. We went to Andersonville, which is in Georgia. It was the last prison camp that the Confederates built at the end of the rail line during the Civil War. And I'm walking through the camp and the graveyards, and I'm thinking of a storyline. But I didn't sit down and write it when I got home. It took 4 years of research before I wrote that book. But the idea was there. But it wasn't a pilgrim. We just went there.
Yeah.
Because I'd always wanted to do it. So Jack said, okay, take a side trip. So we took a side trip.
Yeah. Right. And I saw when President Bush passed away, you are a Republican. I'm a Democrat, but we're friends.
Exactly.
We love each other dearly.
Absolutely.
I saw you took that pretty hard, too, because you some of the letters that he wrote, and they said his first kiss was with Barbara and all that. And I thought about you. Your life somehow reflected some of the things that they did.
Yeah. Because they were one person. They thought as one person. They treated each other with the love and respect. Each of them put the other's needs, wants, and desires before their own.
So in 30 seconds or less, how can people do that? Because I think a lot of people don't have that grandmother, that aunt, that cousin, that grandma that could teach them that. And it is an education how to love someone and be part of someone to that point where you become one.
You just go back to the Bible and say, read where God said, love each other. That is the second commandment.
Right. Oh, I always say, be thy brother's keeper.
That too.
Right? So Christmas is coming up. And any final thoughts? Of course, people can buy your book and read it for Christmas or for the holidays. It doesn't have to be for Christmas.
You can read it anytime.
Anytime, right?
Yeah.
So any final thoughts, because we're going to play this show again later on, for people who are home alone. You write, you blog, you draw, you paint, you have your clothing line, you keep busy. What is that force that gives you that energy to just keep going?
Well, because I refuse to allow the darkness to creep in and take me over. I've been down there, didn't like it, not going back again. But if we don't keep moving forward, Sita, we cheat ourselves, we cheat others, and we rob ourselves of a quality of life. We're not promised anything beyond where we're sitting right now. So why not make the best of it? Why spend your entire life wasting it, and then at the end of your days, you lay there and you go, shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah, and I think some people do need mental health as well. And if they do, we're advocating if you get to that point where you fall into a deep despair and you can't come out, you have to get some professional help.
And it's
because
out there.
Because you and I, we have that energy. We believe in certain things like faith, right. Family, friends, food. Most of, I think food. I swear to God, I think food is it. My children,
food rules, man.
My children, at the drop of a hat, will get together and make you feel so good over a meal. But I think the human connection, we're tribal people.
We are tribal.
Right? So talk a little bit. We have a few more minutes?
Yep. Music,
yeah,
and food.
Yeah, let's talk about being tribal people, because it doesn't matter if you're Indian, Asian, Spanish, American,
we all
black.
We have a soul.
We have a soul, exactly. So how do we connect with people and say, listen, don't be afraid to go up to somebody, give a big smile and say hello.
I do that to strangers. We're all on a journey. Every one of us is on a journey. And how we take that journey is how we will be remembered. And what we have to understand, especially at the time of the silly season, is be kind to those people in retail. It's not their fault.
That's right.
Just smile. If you smile at somebody, I promise you, no matter how bad you feel, and ladies and gentlemen, I have felt really, really bad. No matter how bad you feel, if you put a smile on your face and you tell someone else you have a beautiful smile, or you look beautiful in that color, or thank you for being nice to me, you will walk away feeling so much
better.
So
give more than you receive.
Absolutely.
Also, you can volunteer. How many places are looking for volunteers this time of the year where live human beings are coming to be served a meal? You can go to your church. You can help clean up a beach, whatever
anything.
It is, right? You just be with
just do something.
So the people connection is what you're saying.
Yes.
So the people connection help you through grief and help you through everything else.
And faith.
Yeah. Amen. And the website.
Let's review the websites, because I know there's a lot and we need at least a minute to go through those. Go ahead.
Okay, you've got Vita.com with Yvonne Sewell. You've got For All Things There Is a Season.com. There's my Facebooks. There's Off the Chain Radio at Blog Talk Radio. There is Stopping the Abuse. There's indie author YvonneMason.com. Just go and Google my name.
Right. Just Google
and
her name.
You are a member of the Florida Writers Association as well.
I was. I'm not anymore. I'm going to get back into that. I had to quit because of Jack.
Yeah. But
that's coming back.
We've got a nice group here with the Space
Ghost
Writers Guild.
What an inspirational show. We love having you on, and we love being your friend, and we love watching you on Facebook. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah. And she's supportive. When I ran for office, too, she was so supportive. And that's what we all need. We all need to have friends that we might not agree with everything they say or do, but at the end of the day, we love each other,
and we're
able to help each other. And that's what our show is all about, giving our friends a chance, and she gives us
that's
a chance
and we're
going to
give another friend a chance next week on Monday, right here live on AM 1510 WWBC, or on Viewpoint with Sita
and Friends.
So happy
holidays, see you next week, everybody, and Merry Christmas and everything else.
Yep.
You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234.